Only few hours, Namibia, before the polls opens. And if you are a voting, if you are eligible for voting and you are holding that voting card, make sure that you are the first one in the line tomorrow. Only hours, not days anymore. Only hours before the polls are open and before you're actually, you know, before we cast, you know, the vote. So I'm excited. I hope you are excited too. A very good morning to you. Good morning to you, my dear listener. And welcome to your 24 hours talk radio stations. And we thank Meme Lois for early morning scoop and always making sure that we are updated with what is going around the country and around the world before we get to work or just before we start actually doing our duty wherever we are at home or wherever we are, we find ourselves. Very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, this land of the brave. And if this is your first time tuning in, you're most welcome. And thank you for making us your choice at this morning. It's the 26th of November and the year is 2024. So our today's thought of the day is, it's an African proverb that even the best dancer on the stage must retire sometime. Even the best dancer on the stage must retire sometimes, which actually means nothing lasts forever. So you may take that as you wish. You can take it in a different aspect of life. Or you can also look at that from where we are as we are heading for elections as well. So, good morning. And if you're just joining us, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to help you unpack it all. So you're also welcome to offer your insight, to offer your perspective and opinion on the show and on the topic that matters to you. So, and as I always said every morning, that so, especially at this time, so do please do download our Eagle FM app if you want to, you know. And they are not, as I said, they are only hours now, you know. So, but you still have a time to actually look at some of the manifestos of the parties. If you haven't decided yet, there are still those who are thinking, okay, who am I going to vote? So if you haven't decided yet, there are some, some political party manifestos, and you can only see them. You can only see them. I know you can go to other, probably website of the app, but you have all the political party in one, you know, you can just go from one another to another. So, download the Eagle FM app, and also we have the information on the polling stations. Look at the nearest polling stations in your area, so you can be able to do that. So wherever you are, you can actually listen also to Eagle FM from now through the Eagle FM app and also through the website as well. Our website www.eaglefm.com.na. So you can be able to do that as well. So, and the polling station and the information on manifesto, the polling station also, you can also find it on the IMBA hymnal, the IMBA app that you can also download. You find a number of hymnal book, book assembled in one app, where you can be able now to just have that one, you know, have that in your pocket, in your cell phone. So do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on various platforms, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, and Telegram and WhatsApp as well. So, and do engage with us on those social media platforms. And make sure that you leave a like, that red heart and comment as well. So, if you're looking for the latest news, get yourself a free copy also of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your number and email to 08-200-41-44, and make sure that you save that number as a contact number. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And lastly, if you want to advertise your business and or you want to have your event or function or workshops, conferences, broadcast, or a real life exposure via live streaming and broadcasting, please do contact our office number as well. And our office number is 083-288-400. So, and you can talk about, then you can talk business. All right. So when we come back, so we get into the item we have for you today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
So welcome back. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we break down complex global issues in ways that make sense to you. And today, we are diving into a hot topic in international economic and politics. So debt trap diplomacy. Okay, right? You heard me. Debt trap diplomacy. So what is it? What is it? Does it really happen? And why is it so controversial? So we're going to look at that. And normally this is actually coined with China, and we're going to look at why that as well. So let's just get into it. So what is this called debt trap diplomacy? So let's look at the simplest way to think about it. Okay? Now, imagine your friend lends you a lot of money. Okay? Sounds good at the first, right? So he lends you a lot of money. But here is the twist. All right? Your friend knows you have actually trouble paying it back. So you will have trouble now paying that money back. So, and when you can't, now they demand something valuable in return. So now, because they know that you won't be able to pay that back. So, and then know when you can't, they will actually demand something valuable in return. So that could be maybe your car or even worse, maybe your house. Now, think about this. Now, this concept now is applied now on a much larger scale when one country lends money to another. Okay? So the creditor countries might say, okay, on this, it's just, well, this is just for your development, okay? Build that highway, or build that airport, or build that a road, or build that port. So, but behind the scene, according now to the concept, but behind the scene, they are thinking, when you can't pay back, we will take something important, maybe take control of that port or whatever, or maybe even influence over your economy. So that's now the idea under the concept, the idea behind the concept. Now, a lot of this discussion actually has centered on China's lending in Africa. So as I said, this is actually coined with China, especially when the African country actually lending from China. So let me give you an example. Maybe that will make it much clearer. So in Sri Lanka, China lent money to build a port in Habatonta. All right. So when Sri Lanka couldn't actually pay, it couldn't keep up with the payment, it had to lease. So they have actually to lease the port to a Chinese company for 99 years. So they couldn't pay. They couldn't actually keep up with the payment. So what happened? So Sri Lanka had to lease the port to a Chinese company for 99 years. So now the critics say, aha, that's debt trade diplomacy in action. So you see? Now, but is the same happening in Africa? Is this what actually happening in Africa? So let's look at some case closer at home. Not in Namibia, but in Africa. In Kenya, for example, China helped fund the massive Standard Gauge Railway, a project meant to boost Kenya's economy. But the repayment, it's actually massive. So the repayment of that loan is actually massive. So now, some fears that if Kenya struggled to pay, they might have to give up a control of a critical asset, maybe like the port of Mombasa, for example, Mombasa. So that's what some people fears. And they, as I said, and that's what actually they coin now to debt trap diplomacy. Or take Zambia. Let's get closer at home. So if you take Zambia, where Chinese loans help develop infrastructure, you know, the country now struggle with repayments. So the country is struggling now Zambia is struggling with repayments. And some analysts worry that critical assets, maybe like the National Electricity Company, could end up actually under the Chinese control. So those are the fears based on this kind of notion. But hold on. Here's the twist. There are experts who say this idea of debt trap diplomacy isn't the whole story. You know, they argue that countries like the one I give an example, the country like Sri Lanka, for example, and Zambia chose to borrow heavily. They chose to borrow heavily. And it's not just from China, but from other sources as well. So evidence shows that their debt crises were not solely caused by Chinese loans, but were a result of broader financial mismanagement, poor financial planning, and global economic factors. So, for example, Zambia. Zambia's debt isn't only to China. It owes billions to Western private creditors and institutions like the IMF. So is China really setting a trap? You know, is China really setting a trap, or are this government making risk choices themselves? So I want to dig up a bit information on about 10 countries. What I'm going to do now is actually I'm going to highlight 10 countries, including Namibia, that have experienced significant increase in their debt level to China between 2013 and 2023. So just to give us those to see how the debt actually increased. And the data I'm going to give you, it's actually reflect the percentage of each country's total external debt owed to China at the end of each specific year. I'm not going to go into every year because I'm going to need 10 years, but I'm going to just go from 20 to 2013, and I'm going to give you the 2023 to see how the debt actually grow in that country. So, and after that, I'm also going to give you the a comparison. I'm also going to compare the external debt owed by African countries to the same countries, to China, America, and European. So to U.S. private creditors and also to European private creditors and government. So I'm going to compare that as well, just to see how the African countries, debt increases, especially when it comes now to China. Between now, let's look at now the increases in debt level to China between 2013 to 2023 in the following countries. So I have Angola, for example. In 2013, the external debt owed to China by Angola, it was about 30%. So it was about 30%, and in 2013. So in 2023, it's actually 55%. You see that growth. Djibouti, it's another country. So in 2013, it was 50%, and in 2023, it's actually. It went up. It increased to 75%. You can see that. So these are countries' total external debt owed to China. So, let's look at Kenya. Kenya was about in 2013. It was about 10%, and in 2023, it increased to 35%. The Republic of Congo, so in 2013, it was about the debt, the total external debt owed to China was about 15%. And in 2023, it's actually increased to about 40%. So our closest neighbor, Zambia, so in 2013, it was 20%. And in 2023, increased to about 45%. So we have Ethiopia, Ghana, and Uganda have the same. In 2013, it's about 5%, and in 2023, it grew actually to the debt. Increased to 30%. And that leaves us with Namibia. Namibia, we don't really owe much. We don't really borrow much yet to China, but we borrow somewhere else. So in 2013, our total external debt owed to China is only about 2%. So in 2023, it's actually increased to about 12%. So So the percentage represent the proportion of each country's total external debt that is actually owed to China. So and this data is based on available information from various sources, including the World Bank and also country-specific financial reports as well. So as it, next, I'm going to compare the external debt owed by African country to China. So just to see to China, to U.S. private creditors, and also Europe private creditors and governments. So for the period of the period of 2013 to 2023. So just to see, and I'm just going quickly just to look at the percentage to countries on 2023, okay? Because I have already indicated the one of China, I mean from these countries. So in Angola, look at Angola, the debt to compare to now with other lenders like the US creditors and also the European creditors. So the Angola debt to China is actually by 2023 it's at 55%. It's 55%. It's out of 100%. So it's 55%. And to U.S. creditors, to U.S., it's about 20%. It's about 20%. And to European creditors, it's about 25%. So in Angola, China dominated due to infrastructure loans. So, and Western creditor mainly private. It was mainly private. So when you look at Djibouti. So we say that China, the debt to China was actually 75% in 2023. So when you compare that with other lenders, like the creditors, U.S. creditors, it's about 10%. European creditors, about 15%. So, and you can see that Djibouti heavily rely on Chinese loans. And in that country, it relies on Chinese loans when it comes to port, to actual loan for port and infrastructure projects. So, and in Kenya, it's really spread out. About 35% to China, 30% to U.S. creditors, and 35% to European creditors. So it's actually spread. The debts actually are spread out. So Zambia, 45. We said 45 to China and 25 to the U.S. creditors, and 30 to there's also this balanced distribution also among creditors in Zambia as well. So Ethiopia, the same. Ethiopia, 30% to China and 20% U.S. creditors, and 50% to European. And I think in Ethiopia, Europe lends through multilateral programs in Ethiopia. So, and when you look at Ghana, let's also go to Ghana. Where do we see the difference? Let's go to Tanzania. So Tanzania is about 30% to China, 22 US, and 50 to European creditors, and the European lens is for in especially in Tanzania is for renewable energies and health. And China funds more infrastructure when it comes to ports and railways as well. So, and Republic of Congo, we see before we come to Namibia, Republic of Congo is 40% debt to owed to China, 25 to U.S. creditors, and 35 to European creditors. And the oil-backed loan dominates China's share. Okay, so and Western loans are more diversified. So Namibia, 12 to China, debt 12% owed to China, and 40% to American U.S. creditors, and 48 to U.S. To European creditors. And we look at that when we come back from this commercial break.
Irakochaje contractas, uyo atungi apsokoka, no hatungo magombo, onguju no wapash na nena. Konda ndo ito di pewaruari. Ani longa ipangira mboka muna o subsidi. Na kehengo no tokwa shiripani kwa kompanga. Sao shimpuyo, wimoni ne kumbo. Talitungwa, ngashi wakara. Ano, o protano plana, konda ndo peverera. Umanga iko kira wa pevi. Irakochaje contractas, wena nale omavi, ano o prota, moshakati, o kahao, o joo, utapi. Wongu ndadana o dokamana. Tengira irakochaje, yemwene, konda ndo. Ojeda tuno imwe. Omba jongoi, omba jokeari. Oimwe, ojeari nonora. That is 0812927170. Ekuwa dere, ekumonini, orukaroye, ruaruge. Erago, ojanje, erago, ojoe, erago, ojetu. Kalawa pedu, kalawa kotoka,
kalawa weteko, kalawa baka. So, welcome back. And and we were just looking at some external debt. We were just comparing the external debt owed by African countries to China. Not all African, I talk about 10 countries. Owed the external debt owed by African countries to China, to America, and also to Europe. So, and this is by the period from 2013 to 2023. So, and we looked at number of those. And Namibia, lastly, before we get to the commercial break, was Namibia. Namibia, actually, we owed the external debt owed by Namibia to China is 12%, to US is 40%, and 48 to European governments and creditor and private creditors. So we are predominantly Western debt. So we have predominantly Western debt, and we can see that Chinese loans are minimal, and in Namibia are just focusing on small projects. So as we see, there is a significant in countries. China's share is significant in country with infrastructure projects. Such as what we can see that in countries like Djibouti and Angola. And when you look at US and European shares, these are higher in countries with access to private capital markets. So, and we can see that in example for Ghana and Namibia. So the regional focus, China often funds transport and energy. Western creditor tend to finance social services and general government needs. Okay, so that's some of the difference that we can see. So why does this really matter? So let's look at this before I see the phone is already flashing. So why does this matter really? So you can come later on and have your say. So let it bring it closer to Namibia. And in recent years, okay, Namibia has welcomed Chinese investment in sector like mining, construction, and agriculture. So while we have benefited from the infrastructure development, so there is an important question. Are we borrowing wisely? Or are we setting ourselves up for similar debt trap as a notion that has been being proposed? So, for instance, look at Namibia's heavy reliance on loans for development projects. So, while not all loans come from China, and most of our China doesn't come there, actually, the pattern elsewhere in Africa serve as a warning. So if we are over borrowing without careful planning, we could actually face financial struggle that limit our independence. So I think that's a very important note. And another issue, before you come through, is the issue of transparency. So many Chinese agreements are really covered in secrets. So how many of information do you know on many agreement between, not only between actually Chinese, also between other bilateral agreements that are there, especially when it comes to loans. So it is actually making hard for citizens, even watchdogs. We have some watchdog companies to track how much money, how much money is actually spent, or whether the terms were fair of those agreement. So, or we end up with some of the issue that I highlighted at the beginning. So in Namibia, we need to demand more transparency in all international loan agreement. So after all, the people should know what their government is actually signing up for. What is our government signing up for our debt on behalf, for the debt on our behalf. So we should be able to know what are we signing up for on our behalf. So, and another point is about sovereignty. So if a country becomes too dependent on the creditor, then this is the problem. This is the whole question. And this is where the notion of debt trap of diplomacy comes in. So if we become so dependent on the creditor, it risks losing its ability to make independent decisions. So for Namibia, this means diversifying our financial partnership. So while Chinese loans have been helpful, we must also look to other countries and institutions like the African Development Bank, for example, to reduce dependency. So, and we are heavily dependent, we are also heavily dependent on the European loans. So we are very, our loans is not actually, our problem is not actually China, it's actually the Western creditors. So what is the biggest takeaway here? So African countries, and this is very important, so including Namibia, need to be strategic. The loan should be tools for development, not trap. Shouldn't become trap for dependency. So government must be transparent, negotiate fair terms, and ensure these investments benefit the people. So it is not just about blaming China or blaming the Western. It's about making smart decision of our government. So as a former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said, Africa and China can have a relationship of cooperation, not just dependency, but it is up to us to make sure that happens. So now it's over to you, my dear listener. So do you think African countries, including Namibia, are walking into traps with these loans? Or is this just another way of pointing finger in international politics? So, and don't forget, there are always two sides to every story. Let's keep the conversation. Let's keep the conversation going, because this one is not just, it's not just about debts. It's about the future of our country. It's about the future of the continent. So you're most welcome. I'm going to open my line now and you can come through and have your say. Good morning, Namibia. Igor Feb, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good
morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
In a minute, it's Tonata.
Yeah, so Tonata.
Yeah.
So what are your take?
What I was about to ask you was, did you listen to a caller that called during, I think, who was presenting early morning scoop?
That's Lois Shimi, yeah.
Okay. That caller I don't know.
Yeah.
When you tell, because they spoke about what African debt, whatever.
So where you listen,
Yeah, it's related to what you are discussing now.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah, it's African debt. And he said that apparently the only solution is to go for BRICS. Now, ultimately what came to my mind was that is he not part of the people that are telling us that we have Rally Group here, which is coming from India, we have Chinese who are also getting involved in the markets of that are not, I mean, when you talk about protectionism in terms of business.
Yeah.
Now, you are talking about India and China, that we should allow ourselves with. That Africa should sign up with that, for example. But then we are still talking about the debt trap that you are seeing that countries like China, they call themselves socialist communists, but then they are communists with a Chinese characteristic.
Yeah.
Not that it is China has opted to be a center of finance, knowing well that the global economic system has been dominated by capitalism, because the moment the Soviet Union broke down, capitalism took over. And money and financial interest became the overall goal that dominated our political thought and existence.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the global what village? It is a farce, something that has been sold to us to think and believe that we are all one. But that's not the case. There are those who are winning within the financial system, and then there are those ones who are supposed to be perpetual consumers.
Mm.
And that is what has become of the countries that just got independence and what not, that depends on that so-called financial global system. So, for me, as long as we are within the capitalist system, which China also exercises, because for China to borrow you money and later take over infrastructure or strategic economic points of a country, it's not a crime. It is for us who go out there and then take things from outside.
Yeah.
China will never come and set up infrastructure here for manufacturing. They will never do it in DR Congo, if you are saying there. They pick lithium and whatever, all those minerals that create titanium and whatnot, all the components of whatever we are using in our gadgets if we enable the communication here.
Yeah.
They will never set up those chip-making companies here, because it's valuation and it's employment for their people and there's bigger populations to feed. So, I don't know what is expected of us in terms of thinking. But if sometimes what we can better learn from countries like China is to say maybe, is to learn how they managed to lock themselves away from the world,
yeah,
look the other side, then, you know, create a sort of national identity to say, no, this is how we want to see ourselves within the next 30 years, because China just turned 75 years, you know, from their own problems there,
yeah, mm,
in terms of independence. Namibia is 34 years. So meaning that we literally have 41 years before we can achieve what China has done.
But are we in that direction? Do we see a slow growth moving to that direction?
that is my problem now. So I am so worried that we are not even halfway of thinking in that direction.
Yeah.
If we are borrowing irresponsibly, if we are creating parastatals, and I'm against with people that are saying that we can't even end Namibia here. We can have an Air Namibia, but not with the former structure that used to be there. You can't be paying somebody 2 million per annum who's a non-person CEO. We need somebody with a bachelor's of administration here. Pay him a salary of a school principal and run that Air Namibia. Yeah. And pay them commission also in terms of performance. And then we will see that you are a performing entity. Now you overpay people, they start having breakfast meetings left, right, and center. They are nowhere to be found in offices. To just look at the simplest problem.
Yeah.
Right. And they keep regulating the same people. So we have that problem. And honestly, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I have no solution.
Yeah.
I wish I could be the Paul Kagame of Namibia.
Yeah.
Because that guy is a benevolent dictator. No, it's fine. Let me stop this at the mic.
All right, no. Thank you for coming through, Mr. Tonato.
Yeah, that.
All right, great.
Well, so is China really setting a trap? Or is any other lenders setting a trap? Or are this government making risk choices themselves? Our telephone number is 0833-66091.
Good morning.
How are you?
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, the answer is no. China is not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead, yeah.
Before I go, you know, China, it's a nation that knows what they want.
Hmm.
Do we know what we want? China doesn't force any nation to say, if you don't do this, this is the consequences. What Europe does, by the way. No. We go there and then we negotiate corruptly. We say, on top of that, add this.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to hold China accountable if they defraud anyway, because they simply say, but we gave you, we said this, but you said this. That's the African way.
Yeah.
But if we do things correctly, everything will go normal. Why you can't pay back if you say you have to pay back?
Mm.
That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Now, if you look at the African continent itself, and this is where we always miss, the French-speaking country, those 13, Benin, Mali, Cote d'Ivoire, all those other countries, you see, if you follow and look very well, they are obliged to pay colonial tax.
Yeah.
In amount of 500 billion per year. And that's a combination of 174 million GDP, those countries.
Who is paying? Who is paying the colonial tax?
Mali.
Mali is the one who is paying who? Paying who?
Yes. Mali, Central African Republic, Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, all those countries.
Yeah.
Cameroon, they pay colonial tax to France to date.
Hmm.
Now, they have to borrow back their own money. They are told that your limited transfer is more than 20% of that amount. And everything that they need in that country should only come from France.
Do you know a little bit more of that, and you can explain it a little bit, because it's confusing for me.
It's not confusing. What you do?
Mm.
You go on your Google there,
yeah.
And then you say African country paying colonial tax to France.
Okay.
Now it's a long history of it.
Okay. No. I just now, wanted a quick from you.
Yes. Now what it means that.
Mm.
What France did is that when they are given their independence, France simply said, yes, we are going to give you your independence,
yeah.
But this is what is going to happen. All your reserve, it will be transferred to France.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, we hold your money, we take care of your money, your army, your headquarters, you're not allowed to have a big army. And now, when you want to borrow this money, you can only borrow up to this amount. If we want to rent you this money, we only rent you money, but you only use this money for a specific project, not for everything that you need, not for infrastructure, not for schools, not for all those things that you are talking about. No, they will dictate. Now, if you want a TV, you want a car, you only get it from France.
And the country agreed to that?
Yes, your independence. That's what is attached to your independence. Mm. And if you don't do it, your people are dying. It's all dying every day. Because they have resources. People are dying every day. You simply agree, thinking that in future you change, but it never changed.
Yeah.
Mm. It was China who faced France that you must stop demanding colonial tax from African countries. And that voice is only coming from there.
Yeah.
Now, come to Southern Africa, where we belong now. If this is in the hands of the British, which is now the EU, directly. Now, if you read the Group Area Act of 1953, when I talk about infrastructure and the land, it's sitting there. Now, if you want to build a house today, where do you go? Who lend you the money to buy the house? It's their bank. It's FNB, Standard Bank. Mm. Now, what is the condition attached to that? It says that they can only develop a house which has got a title deed and is in the seventh land and it's become their house. And that house is costing 400,000. You have to pay that house for 20 years. Now, a car that is valued at 1.2 million, you pay that car for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Now, why at the beginning, in 1952, since 1953, at the Group Area Act, that no black person allowed to have land, neither to have any infrastructure or property. Now, if you now have to pay a house for 20 years, let's say you only start working at the age of 47. How many years before retirement? And then you want to have that property. How long are you going to pay that property for? 20 years or 30 years. Now, there is a colonial tax, concealed colonial tax attached to it, because no one else going to fund that bank, that property. But is that their bank? Because that is the agenda that they attach there. And this is that we need to interrogate. We're applying an antidote to the wood. It's an old wood, but we're applying the wrong antidote, because every time when we apply the new wood will appear. Now, the issue here is the system of governance. Economic system that was put to us, and the governance system that they put it to us. Because this is what they negotiated. And these things, it was negotiated and put it to only benefit them. It doesn't matter how long, because even if you say China, come and put up this property here, which bank are you using?
Yeah.
It's the same bank. And then what they do, they penalize you for doing business with that bank, because it interferes with what they want. Because they want you to remain backwards, so that they remain in charge, in control. It doesn't matter whether you put Johnny there as a president, you put Maria there as a president. The system indicates how things are done.
Yeah.
Do you have a payment system, if I may ask, as Namibians? No. Who controls the payment system? Is somebody else. You know, imagine this, my brother. As you are no longer backward, we are now scholar. How can it be that the ANC government is not in charge of their bank?
Yeah.
The Reserve Bank of South Africa does not belong to South African government. It's controlled by individual white-owned, which is the Stellenbosch and Oppenheimer. They are reporting directly to the monarchy, to the queen or the king now of England. Because those are the owners. Now, the same goes to us. And then they say, Namibia, the dollar should be attached to the Reserve Bank, to the rand. Now, who controls that?
All right. So, just wrap up now.
Yeah. We need to face the reality and address issues.
Yeah.
We should not blame each other. But we must address the real issue. What is the biggest elephant in the room? It's the capitalist system. then how do we deal with the capitalist system? We can only deal with capitalism strategically, and we need to be thinkers. And the system that they put to us, we need to change and demolish that system. And then we come with a system that benefiting us. If you are pointing finger to China and all that and all that,
yeah,
that is not the problem. The problem is the governance system that was given to us and the system that we are deploying in place, especially an economic system and education system. These are the things that we need to study and look at it, and holistically we'll arrive to the right direction. I will leave for others to comment.
All right. Thank you for coming through.
All right. A very good morning to you. And our telephone number is 0833-66-091.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
No, the system of laws is always setting conditions, and when we are talking to China, if you go back to its history, they were also suffering at the time.
Yeah.
And they have decided to articulate what they want in life. And as one of the caller has asked, what we as Namibians want, nothing. Because there's not any articulation of what is really needed by all Namibians.
Yeah.
All we need is just to bribe people with sweet talk and give them fake statements. Then after we have been elected, we go in our offices to get salary, and we sit back, we start to call our leaders, of which it's not. Conditions of loans, just like how many people would have borrowed money from BBN, from FNB, from Bengwindu, from Standard Bank. They end up, they didn't satisfy, or if they didn't manage to repay their loans, the process of things must come in always. Nobody wants just to be working hard for someone who just wants to eat and go sit down.
No.
Yes, and these are the things that you have to take accountable, that when the nation is borrowing money, they must make sure that when they are coming, they will at least be able to generate more money so that they can repay those loans. And it's even a shame the country borrowing money to come and do the drought relief that going away, straight away to the deep. It doesn't make any revenue there. And as we as Africans, I can give you one example. Nangolo Mbumba, President Nangolo Mbumba, after we have found that no, there are some oils been discovered in the country.
Yeah.
Instead of him going to Libya, where he knows that Libya, Colonel Gaddafi was championing in the leadership of his resources based on the oil which is in there, instead of him going to Libya and observe and try to find out how did they manage, he is going to Angola, where Chevron has started, the American company, which is and as I have quoted, the percentage with Americans, we are having 40% and other 48%, while our debt with China is only 12%. And these are the things that you have to be very keen, observing that, do we really need something, or do we really need Namibia to be somewhere, or we just want to set in the mud, and until people start to impose same-sex marriage into us, because we don't nothing at all.
Mm.
Just imagine a minister standing up in parliament to campaign for same-sex marriage. Even animals didn't do that. And is it a nation that needs something, or that needs to be somewhere? If you take most, or maybe 98% of products here, most of them, especially clothing, shoes, and other things,
yeah,
most of them they are written made from China. And the moment you are not having domestic production, you will not go anywhere, and you will not have any of having even a bank, a national bank. And like Africans, if we want to defeat this, we just need to join ourselves. First, we have to unite ourselves.
Yeah.
We form up a strong one currency. Then we confront the domestic production. And in most of the countries, why are they not joining BRICS? It's because they know that they have nothing to fit or buffer so that they can be able to sit at the table of peace. Because if you ask Namibians how much money, because when you want to join BRICS, at least you must, South Africa have started with $4 billion, something of that kind.
Mm.
If you ask Namibia, how many billions do you have, or are you preparing yourself to go so that you can join BRICS? Ask the Chaningas and the Menetumbo who are campaigning to become leaders now. Ask them. They will not tell you anything. All they want is to lie to people, to be voted. They go back into offices so that they can get salary. And this is a shame. It's a shame to us, we as Namibians. Let me end up here, my brother. Let me leave the chance to others.
Where are you calling us from? What's your name?
I'm Michael Nainsabu, calling you from Osanari.
All right. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes. The question is, do you think African countries, including Namibia, are walking into traps with these loans? And or is this just another way of either pointing fingers in international politics or mongering? So our telephone number is 08333-66091 or 08333-66091. You are most welcome to come through and have your comments, your thoughts, and your inputs.